Thanks. What I'd like to speak about is nitrous oxide emissions from crop nitrogen applications in eastern Canada. This is a presentation that follows up on one I gave last year at this time as well. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors. This study is essentially about the application of meta-analysis and one other analysis technique trying to integrate the results of everything that's been published about nitrous oxide in response to fertilizer applications in eastern in the geography of eastern Canada. The person I should acknowledge for the meta-analysis part of this project is O'Neill Bergeron, who resides in Quebec and was a postdoc with Philippe Rochette, who's also a co-author on this paper. Bernie Zeebarth, Dave Burton, and Craig Drury also supplied data. Most of the data here is published already. Some of it is just very close to publication or was still unpublished at the time we started out with this project. The project is geared to support something known as the Nitrous Oxide Emission Reduction Protocol. Since we wanted a shorter term for that, we call it NERP. It's kind of a strange name, but at least it's memorable. This is, to our knowledge, the only protocol that is recognized by a government cap-and-trade program, and it is active in the program for the government of Alberta, approved in October last year. The protocol is based on a scientific consensus that applying best management practices that we have today for nitrogen fertilizer relative to the baseline that most growers are using, and primarily oriented to Western Canada, but it also does have an Eastern Canada component, that it was acknowledged that there would likely be a 15% reduction in nitrous oxide emission, and therefore farmers should be eligible to receive a payment for that in a greenhouse gas trading system if one was to exist, which it does in Alberta. As far as I know, we don't have anything else active. What benefit this does provide for researchers is that this is a framework that focuses the priorities for research, because what we're looking for is practices that farmers can adopt, of a verifiable practices that reduce nitrous oxide emissions. And it's thought that if we knew our stuff better, there should be opportunity to reduce nitrous oxides by far more than just 15%. So this meta-analysis, the objectives were to quantify the impact of fertilizer source, rate, time, and place, fitting in with the 4R nutrient stewardship concept that's being advanced by the industry, the impact on nitrous oxide emission. We wanted to analyze aggregated data on nitrous oxide emission response to fertilizer nitrogen application for all the published research conducted in eastern Canada, and by that I mean the provinces of Ontario, Quebec, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia, essentially, is where the data is coming from. And we're looking at emissions summed up on a site year basis, essentially looking at what we can measure within a growing season, we would like to include the full year around, but emissions, true emission measurements during spring thaw in eastern Canada, we know they're important, but they're also very difficult to measure. So we identified 35 studies that involved variables for fertilizer source rate, time, and place. And of those 35, 18 had rate comparisons at a constant source, time, and place. Okay, so if you have a rate comparison, then you can calculate fertilizer-induced emission, which is the difference in emission between fertilized and control, divided by the amount of nitrogen applied. And so everything I present to you here is going to be in terms of fertilizer-induced emission, grams of nitrous oxide N per kilogram of nitrogen fertilizer. So we're basically assuming that there is indeed a rate effect, and we're trying to find out what modifies that effect. We've got two methods applied here, meta-analysis, as per Borenstein et al., the Introduction to Meta-Analysis book. And we're also using a procedure similar to what was used in a publication from 2006 by Elke Steffest and Lex Baumann, where they applied essentially a multiple linear model to the whole set of data. The best approach is to use a proc-mixed approach where you're using random effects as well as fixed effects. I'm more comfortable with GLM, so I'm going to present some results that compare with that one as well. Background to the study, we have about 16 years represented in there. We have a variety of soil textures. They're grouped into three classes, 47 in the sandy to sandy loam, 48 in loam, and 97 to clay loam. Okay. Whether this perfectly represents Eastern Canada agriculture, I can't quite say that. We haven't looked at that, but this is what is actually in the published data. Soil pH, the median is about 6.2 with plus or minus 0.6 for a standard deviation. I would have to mention that a great deal of, about 60% of the observations in here are from Quebec. And so we should keep that in mind. In terms of Eastern Canadian agriculture, you would think that about 60%, at least 60% of the agriculture is in Ontario, but we've got 60% of the oxide emissions are in Quebec, so we're not fully balanced here. Crop, there's a big emphasis on corn, 126 of the observations on corn, 48 on grass, and 18 on other crops, and there's a mix of different previous crops as well. Important thing here is that these are all background factors. Okay, I will go through some of them fairly quickly. I'm not going to focus on their effects, but if you just take the simple means of these background factors, we can see that corn tends to have a higher fertilizer-induced emission than on other crops. Previous crop has an effect. Soil texture, as you would expect, the finer textured soils have higher emission coefficients. And with higher precipitation, we get higher, we tend to have higher levels as well. With air temperature, there seemed to be effect there. This is the air temperature during the measurement period. And then we also divided things up into nitrogen rate class. And here I want to avoid confusion again. That what this is indicating, if these are all the same, that means fertilizer-induced emission is a linear function of fertilizer applied. If these are not, if these are different, that means it's a bit of an exponential. And there is a hint, at least, that with very low application rates, the emission coefficient should be smaller than for higher rates. Okay, so I'm not going to go into those into the detail, but keep in mind that these are background factors that influence what we're looking at when we're trying to analyze this data set. This data set is not balanced for all those factors. We didn't design all of these. All of these were designed to be unique. And one of the criteria for scientific publication is that your work has to be unique and distinct from everybody else's, right? So if you repeated exactly what somebody else did, it probably wouldn't be publishable. And whereas with a meta-analysis, we're looking for studies that were quite similar. Okay, I have a lot of tables to go through, and I apologize, it's going to be rather quick. First, I want to make some points about meta-analysis as a means of extracting what they call summary effects and comparing that to the arithmetic means. Okay, if you apply meta-analysis, the principles there are what you need from each study. For each observation of fertilizer-induced emission, you need the mean of what was observed in the trial and its standard deviation so that you can calculate a variance. And then the means, when you pull them together, the summary effect is calculated by taking an average, but it's a weighted average based on the inverse of the variance. So studies with smaller variances get higher weight than studies with larger variances. And so you end up with a difference from the arithmetic means. There's two differences, is that, number one, the mean estimate will change, and generally the standard errors are lower. Okay, it reduces the standard error. That shows a power of meta-analysis. It enhances the precision. But one point I would like to make is that it doesn't enhance the accuracy. If this arithmetic mean, indicating that the source UAN is greater in emission than the others, well, this may be due to the fact that we just happen to have more trials on heavy clay soil that when we used UAN than trials that used, for example, urea might have been conducted on sandier soil. Okay, so keep that in mind. Neither meta-analysis nor arithmetic means take that into account at all. So we have to be watching for that effect. We have to move to a more comprehensive analysis if we're going to take those things into account. One other thing I'd like to say about the meta-analysis, it also gives you a statistic called the I-squared, which compares the amount of variances within treatment comparisons or within studies compared to the variance among them. And for most of the variables we analyzed here, I squared worked out to be 90 to 95% or more, indicating that even though within studies most nitrous oxide workers will tell you that it's highly variable within a study, the variability among studies is that much greater, probably about 20 times greater. Okay, so here we're looking at the comparison now of meta-analysis compared to a GLM analysis, which included all those, I showed you six background factors. They're included as fixed effects in the GLM. In the mixed, proc-mixed analysis, we have the same fixed effects, but we also have year and study as random effects. That was similar to what was done by Steffes and Baumann. Okay, so now we have means that are adjusted for those background effects, but remember the adjustment is still based on unbalanced data. So it is, while it's hopefully moving closer to the truth, it may not have moved all the way there. We, by comparing how much it changes, you could probably get some idea of the certainty of your estimates. Okay, we can see that generally if the effects become smaller when we move to a more comprehensive model, and the standard errors may actually increase a little bit if you compare the GLM to the mixed proc-mixed analysis. This is probably the one that's more appropriate. It's hinting that there is evidence that UAN may be a little better than these two sources. Okay. If we look at that again a little close, now we compare that those same data, and again it's showing that there's a significant difference here between UAN, ammonium nitrate, and a category that includes mostly ammoniacal fertilizers, but some others as well. Compare that to Steffes and Baumann's global approach, where they had actually a higher number of observations, but not all the ones that were included in here because this was published earlier. They found no significant differences. If we look at one specific study that was just published, Gagnon et al., where they actually did a direct comparison and a balanced comparison of UAN, ammonium nitrate, and aqua ammonia, they indeed found that the UAN and the aqua ammonia had a significant difference. In their particular study, this was a three-year average, so they were willing to say that for that soil type at least, there's a source difference. Okay, whether we can generalize this to all of eastern Canada, I've got at least a little bit of a leaning and an inkling that way, but I'd like to find out more reasons for it before being fully confident here. Okay, if we look at other studies directly comparing sources that are in this database, these 18 studies, one of the frustrating things is that nobody makes the exact same comparison. But there is evidence of sources making a difference. I can't go into detail on that. I'd like to have a look quickly at some of the results as well for going to the pre-plant, side dress, and split applications. The meta-analysis showed that there was potentially some differences here. They essentially disappeared when we went to a more balanced analysis, taking into account all the effects. Again, we have a lot of studies comparing time of application, and there are some that do show that there are significant differences for specific situations. When we look at place, there was some indication from the meta-analysis that banding was a placement that actually increased emissions. When we put that into proc mixed and account for background factors, the differences disappear entirely. There are, however, specific examples in specific situations where we do see some significant differences. Thank you, Shabtai. I just have a couple more slides. One point here is what we not all of the data had corn yields associated with them. We calculated emission per ton of corn yield. Okay, N is 85 here. There were 85 observations that had both a control and a rate of nitrogen application. And we looked at the yield at both of those levels and see the change. And you see a bit of an exponential factor going on here. Not much change up to reasonable rates of application of nitrogen. And when you get higher emissions per unit of corn production, do trend to increase. If we look at that one specific study, again, the Gagnon et al. Study, it illustrates what's happening a little more closely. As you apply more nitrogen, yield increases. Emissions increase more or less linearly in this study, but emissions per unit of yield, there's a very small increase, and if you look at just up to the optimum range, the increase in nitrous oxide emission per unit of yield increases very little up to the optimum rate, which more or less justifies what is currently used in NERP, that if we do a really good job of getting to economically optimum nitrogen rate, we're really minimizing the nitrous oxide emission issue. So my conclusion is that meta-analysis can reduce uncertainty, but we have to be careful with it. What we really need to do is break things down into more specific categories, but then we need a larger database, and it is a powerful tool for examining very specific comparisons. The site, source, time, and place options for fertilizer management do not differ generally across eastern Canada, but they may differ in specific situations, and that the emissions increase little up to the economically optimum nitrogen rate. I want to thank you for your attention and give some credit to the people who provided some financial support for this as well.